We've been looking at the subject of love, the inexhaustible subject of love. The greatest word outside of Jesus in the English language. And 546 times in the KJV, God refers to love. Not a fatal attraction, and not an illicit lust, not just an emotional stir, but something holy, divine, real, rich, and pure. I love the song Brother Tom sang as a solo this morning. Oh, love of God, how rich and how pure. In our text this morning, we looked at the mandate of love. God set the standard high when he said, love is of God and God is love. Therefore, everything that God is, love is. God is real. God is holy. God is perfect. God is powerful. God is present. God is personal. God is eternal. And therefore, God's love is perfect and holy and pure and good and faithful and present and eternal. And then we looked at the manifestation of love in verse 7 and 8. God manifested that love in that he sent his only begotten Son to the cross to be the propitiation, the covering, the salvation, the remission, the redemption from our sins. And proof positive that God loves us is that Christ went to Calvary. And I want to end tonight at the last part of this passage. And not only deal with the mandate of love, the manifestation of love, but the ministry of love. I'm glad for the love that I have received, but now what is my responsibility? I am to release and share and show that love for one another. I don't care how much a family has, far as wealth or material or an educational status, without real love, that house is not a home. I don't care how much a church has, how many members they have, how much clout they have in the community. If that church is not baptized and indwelt with the power, the unction, the spirit of love, is just another religious institution. Jesus said that the love that he talks about in the Bible is a sign of true discipleship. By this shall all men know you're my disciple. Because you get on the internet and attack one another? No, because you love one another. It is a sign of full obedience. Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it is only produced as the fruit of the Spirit of God that operates in our life. And if God loved us, then we ought also to love one another. I used to hear those old-timers preaching. I didn't understand it as a boy. Talbot Moore used it all the time. Oh, Holy Ghost, baptize us tonight in perfect love. And what he is saying is, in the body of Christ, there's no room for hate and jealousy and envy and backbiting. Man, we are to love one another. And I'm glad for the ministry of love. Not only the love that I have received, but the love that I express and show toward others. And let's read how John worded it tonight, beginning in verse 18 of chapter 4, 1 John. He said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. I've always wanted to preach on that subject, and I'm really rolling it around in my heart. But I believe the antidote to every civil problem we have is love, even fear. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. You say, well, I don't believe fear hath torment. You go home tonight and make your wife mad and come back to Sunday and tell me how that works for you. Fear hath torment. You raise teenagers and see how that works. While y'all were praising the Lord, shouting a while ago, I looked around. I about had a spell. I got five granddaughters here tonight watching people worship and praise the Lord. And I want to tell you, I'm a blessed man. You say, what has that got to do with that verse? Not a thing. I just wanted to say it. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Verse 19. We love him because he what? First loved us. The mandate of it. We can't do it without him. Verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother. He is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. And I'm thankful for the love of God that I have experienced. But I'm also thankful tonight for the love of God that I am to express. I'm glad that God mandated his love and his character. I'm glad God manifested his love at Calvary, but God wants the ministry of love in a Christian. And I love that old time religion that makes us love everybody. He plainly says that we can't love our brother whom we have seen if we say we love God whom we have not seen. And, you know, we got a discussion going on how mean boys are. And I'll admit that boys can be on the rough side. But I want to tell you about girls. They're mean too. But it's just a different type. It's a mischievous, devious, underhanded, backstabbing. We're going to have revival in here tonight. How many had a sister? And you know what it's like to be abused by the sisters. And Shane, of all the people in this room somebody's sorry for, it ain't you, so just be quiet. But Dr. MacMillan, one of my homiletical teachers, said this one time, and I won't ever forget it. Said this man come in from work, and his little girl ran up to him and said, Daddy, 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 I love you, and started kissing her daddy all over. Now, I know before you become a daddy or granddaddy, that sounds sickening, but when you get to be a daddy, you like it, and when you get to be a granddaddy, you really like it. While she's up there in her daddy's arms just kissing all over daddy, her little brother walks by. And only like a little mischievous girl would do, as her daddy walks by, she sticks out her tongue. And the mother sees it, and the mother runs over there and takes her down and says, Listen, listen, honey, you can't love on your daddy and stick your tongue out at your brother. And listen, I know we're human. I know we have relationship problems, and I know we have our bad days. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, if the world had the love of God in them, and they let that love of God flow through them, the prejudice and the hate and the ugliness in our society would go away. You said, I just don't understand how I can love some people. I'm trying to understand how God could love me. He looked beyond my fault and he saw my need and he loved me and he cares for me. And when I trusted him as my Savior, he imparted that kind of love in my heart. And through the indwelling presence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, I can love others as God hath loved me. You say, well, Brother Joe, just how important is love in the life of a Christian? I want you to turn tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and listen at one of the most talented, theologically educated men in all the world had to say about the little subject of love operating in the life of a Christian. And by the way, if there's any place on planet Earth where you ought to be able to feel and experience love, it ought to be the house of God, the church of Jesus Christ, our brothers and sisters. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1. This is how important Paul says it is. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, I'd say that's a pretty big vocabulary, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. In parentheses, right down beside of that verse, this interpretation of sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, you ready? Racket. Racket. That's all it is a racket, a noise. There's no harmony, there's no joy, there's no melody, there's no meaning. It's just noise, it's just a racket. No matter how beautiful the prayer is, how beautiful the song is, how beautiful the sermon is, to the human ear, Paul said, if it's not baked and blessed and loved, it's just racket, it's just noise. Notice what he said in verse number 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries. I'd say that'd be a powerful thing. To understand all the mysteries. To be able to prophesy. To be so intelligent that you could predict accurately the future. Paul said, if I did all of that. And he says in verse 2, and all knowledge. And though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not love or have not charity. Notice what he says. I am nothing. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but somebody that has enough knowledge that they can accurately predict the future and they understand all the mysteries, that is an intelligent, that is a very wise human being. But Paul said, if I did all of that, and I didn't have any love in my heart, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. And by the way, you know what nothing is, don't you? It's a zero with the rim knocked off of it. Nothing. Paul said, without love, my speech is noise. Without love, my service is nothing. It gets even deeper in verse number 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, notice what he says, it profiteth me nothing. And Paul said, my speech without love is in vain. My service without love is in vain. My sacrifice without love is in vain. Paul said, if I had the voice of an orator and the mind of a theologian and the gift of a martyr and have not the charity and the love of God, Paul said, I am nothing, I do nothing, I gain nothing because it is all in vain. I don't know about you tonight, but I'd say, wow, that's important. Man, I don't want to waste my breath, my time, my energy in religious activity without the blessing of God upon it. And tonight, our motive, our only motive, ought to be love. Our love for God and our love for one another. And I've often said this, I really believe that if an individual loves God and falls in love with God and Jesus and the Bible and the Holy Spirit, he will not need a religious dictator ruling over him. Now, I'm going to try to do this nicely or you're going to think I don't have no love. But I feel sorry for people that have to pledge their allegiance to a man. I feel sorry for people that have to pledge their allegiance to a man, to a dogma. I believe our choir understands this. If you're going to get up here in this choir and sing, we don't want you out at Hooters on Saturday night, nor Saturday morning. Tom? I don't care if you like their chicken wings or not. It's not right. We understand. We don't want you out at some strip joint living like the devil and coming up here Sunday singing in the choir. But at the same time, you're not bowing down to me. We're not going to pass out papers that you got to sign your allegiance that you won't do this and you won't do that and you won't wear this. You won't wear. If you don't love God enough to live for God and do what's right, you don't need the fear of Joe Arthur. You don't need the fear of the deacons of Harvest and the leadership of Harvest. The only thing that will motivate you to live for God and live above the world and serve God and give God your best, it's the love of God that does that to you and I. And our love for God ought to motivate everything that we do. And not just our love for God, but our love for the family of God, the church of God, the saints of God. Thank God we love one another. And that's why I love to see the love of God expressed among the saints of God. Because Paul said, if I could speak like an orator, and I had the wisdom of a theologian, and I even died the life of a martyr without it being baptized and blessed with love, it's a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I want to come to one more place and make a few comments. I want you to come to Hebrews chapter number 13 tonight. We have seen what the Apostle John said about it. If God loved us, then we ought also love one another. And we've seen what Paul said, the importance of it. It makes our speech, it makes our service, it makes our sacrifice so much better and lasting and eternal when it's baptized in perfect love. And then I love the way the Hebrew writer puts it in Hebrews chapter 13. Verse number 1, a very simple but yet powerful exhortation. Notice the first word is the word let, not the word make. We got too many people trying to make it happen instead of letting it happen. Jesus didn't say make your light shine. It said let your light shine. You say, well, Brother Joe, what's the difference between letting and making? When you're making it, you are originating it. When you're letting it, it's already there. And you're just loosing it and letting it go. He didn't say make your light shine. That's what the legalists do. They try to make something happen, whether it's there or not. Man, they'll run themselves crazy and run you crazy and can't even live up to their own stupidity because they're trying to make something happen that's not there. Oh, but that it, boy, that's good preaching if I'm doing it. But if that light is there and that life is there and that peace is there and that joy is there and that unction is there, they're not making it. They're not originating it. It's there and it's just shining through. I can't make me love you. No matter how hard I try. I can't make you love me. One fella said to me one day in the office, he said, I'm having trouble. How can I make her love me? I said, you can't make her do nothing. He said, boy, that's right. He still didn't get it. Man, I don't make my light shine. I don't make myself love the Lord. that is there. It is put there by the Holy Ghost when he saved me. Faith is there. Love is there. Power is there. Unction's there. Hope is there. Joy is there. Happy is there. Peace is there. Life is there. I don't make it. I just let it. Somebody asked me, said, Brother Joe, in a year's time, how many revivals will you hold? I'm really not trying to hold a revival. I'm trying to let one loose somewhere. Let. And notice what he said in the text tonight. Let brotherly love continue. And to me, the most powerful part in this text is the period at the end of continue. Subject closed. Hallelujah. He didn't say make an attempt. He didn't say pray about it. He said let brotherly love continue, period, subject closed. And I believe tonight that ought to be the goal of every family, the goal of every church, the goal of every fellowship, to let this brotherly love continue. I want us to look at it tonight in a couple of different dimensions. Number one, no matter what happens to us, I am to let that brotherly love continue. And if you live in the real world long enough, something's going to happen to you. And I'm so afraid sometimes that we let what happens to us affect the way that we love and minister to others. We had a very interesting afternoon at the Arthur House. I'm trying to keep Julie from injuring that hip again. The only thing good that come out of that whole thing, we ate well for several weeks with them Uber cards. But she's down in that basement. She's just determined to go down in that basement. How many of you men married a strong-willed female? You know what I'm talking about. And I heard her scream, Joe, get down here. We've got troubles. Well, in my mind, I'm thinking, she has fallen. She has fallen in that basement. I'm going to have to call Lily and Barry and say, get me some more of them Uber cars. Here we go again. But I go down to the basement. There's water everywhere. We've been mopping up water. And she's got a mop, and she's twisting and turning. And the doctor done told her, no twisting and turning. We hadn't been dancing in a long time. And I yelled at her, and I didn't mean it to sound that way, but she looked at me and she said, don't get rough with me. She had a mop in her hand. Don't take it out on me, Joe. And I said, read my lips. I'm going to tell you something, brother. It by got on down in that basement. I'm telling you, I was that close to putting my foot down and taking a stand. And clearing up that situation. But man, how many times have we bit at others and went off at others and were unkind to others because of what happened to us? That other person may not have done it, and that one may not have done that, but it is so easy to allow things happen to us to hinder and stop that brotherly love. But can I remind you tonight, we've never had anything happen to us more devastating than God sending his own son into the world to be smitten and crucified and nailed to a cross for our sins. May God help us tonight not to let what happens to us hinder our brotherly love. No matter what happens to us, let brotherly love continue. Second dimension. No matter what happens in us, man, let brotherly love continue. And I'm telling you tonight, in the real world, some things are going to go on inside of you. Fear. Disappointment. Hurt. Misunderstanding. Doubt. Anger. Frustration. Oh, all of that wants to just get in us. And boil in us. And ferment in us. And pollinate in us. And sometimes the reason why we're acting like we are on the outside is because there's something inside feeding that. And most people I have met with anger issues and unforgiveness issues and bitter issues and animosity issues, there is something deep down inside of them that you don't even notice or see with the natural eye. I mean, have you ever said this about somebody? Man, why are they so angry? Why are they so unhappy? Why are they so aggravated and unforgiving? Look at what they've got. They've got a job. They've got a home. They've got a car. They got food. They got clothes. They got money. They seem to have everything that everybody should desire. But I found out it doesn't matter what we have on the outside. It's what's happening on the inside that molds our character and our response. I went to school with some fellas. Man, their dad had the big jobs. Their dad made the big money. They wore the best clothes. They drove the best cars. They had the best guns. They had the best of the best of the best of the best. But they were never happy. They were never loving. They were never kind. Man, that deep root of bitterness and anger way down on the inside. But I want to tell you tonight, man, the Holy Ghost baptizes us in perfect love. And no matter what happens to us, and no matter what happens in us, let that brotherly love continue. I was preaching this week somewhere in the United States of America. Traveler's Rest, South Carolina. And I was preaching, and one night I preached the sermon God gave me on the sycamine trees. I felt led to preach that to these people. And the next night, a young lady, probably 30, 35 years old. When you get my age, everybody looks young. I remember going to the doctor thinking, that old man don't know what he's doing. And now I go back to the doctor. That little young squirt don't know what he's doing. I used to get on airplanes and I think, that old man don't know how to fly a plane. Now I get on that little boy don't know how to fly a plane. This young lady came up to me, and I've never had anybody do this. I was sitting on the front pew, and I usually stand in the presence of a lady. If a lady walks up to me, no matter what I'm doing, I stand and properly greet them. That's what my mom and dad taught me to do. And as I went to stand, she put her hand on my knee and said, sit here just a minute. I got something I want to say. And she's on her knees in front of me, in front of that whole congregation. And she's weeping uncontrollably. She's crying. And she said, that message last night changed my life. She said, I didn't know how bitter, I didn't know how angry, I didn't know how frustrated I was. I really didn't realize how far back in my past I was holding on to anger and fear and disappointment and even bitterness. She said, I didn't realize it was so in me. I didn't realize it was so far back. I didn't realize it was so deep rooted. She said, but the Holy Ghost rooted it out last night and I've had a good day today. She said, "Woo! I feel like I've been saved again." You know what happened? God set her free. God set her free. And let me encourage you tonight, no matter what happens to us, let brotherly love continue. No matter what happens in us, let brotherly love continue. And then this third dimension, and we'll go home. No matter what happens to us, well, no matter what happens in us, but oh, listen to me. No matter what happens between us. Let brotherly love continue. You say, Brother Joe, do you think something's going to get between us? Just like that. Because we're human. We're fleshly. We're prone to do bad things. Have you ever noticed you didn't have to teach your child? How many had to teach your child to hold their breath and get mad? How many had to teach your child to be sneaky? How many had to teach your child to pitch a fit? And how many times have you gone to correct your child and somebody will say, oh, don't bother me. It's just a little kid. He don't know any better. And you say, that's why I'm getting on to him, because he don't know no better and I want him to know better. You don't have to teach lying. You don't have to teach conniving. You don't have to teach fits. You don't have to teach outrage. Man, all of that boils and pollinates in us. And under the right circumstances, something could come between us, between you and your husband, you and your wife, you and your children, you and your friends, you and your family. We live in the real world, and sometimes before you realize it, there's an issue, there's a hurt, there's a pain, and boy, the devil, one of his greatest tactics forever is divide and conquer. Several years ago, I was preaching in Pennsylvania, and they took me to Gettysburg. And I was reading inscribed on a marble stone President Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. And while President Lincoln is giving this, what they call the Gettysburg Address, he quoted from the Bible. I don't know that much about Abraham Lincoln, but from what I have read, he was a believer in God, at least. And he made this statement, and he quoted from the Bible. And he's trying to put a broken nation back together. And he quoted from the Bible, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And as I read that, I thought, if that's important in a nation, how much more is that important in a Christian family? And how is that so much important in the fellowship of a church? And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, all of us have preferences. We all have different personalities. But if I will let the Lord lead me and guide me, and if you will let the Lord lead and guide you, no matter what happens in us, no matter what happens to us, no matter what happens between us, God can work through us. And we can still let that brotherly love continue. There are three words tonight that begin with the letter U. If we get a hold of it, it'll help the love of God be perfected in our life. Understanding. Understanding. Man, when we get crossways in our relationship, we just got to understand. You ready? Great men are not always wise. We're not always on our best behavior. And if God in Psalm 78 can remember that at our best, we're just flesh. And where would we be if God had not remembered that his creation was just flesh? Man, if God understands that we're just flesh and we're needy people, how much more do we need that understanding in the body of Christ and in the work of Christ? We're all just flesh and we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Understanding. Then there's the word unity. Oh, Psalms 137 said, how great, how good, how pleasant when brethren dwell together in unity. How great is it, the psalmist says. It's like the ointment that ran down Aaron's beard. And it's like the dew on top of Mount Hermon. And against that, there is no law. How we need the unity of the saints of God. Pulling together, praying together, striving together, weeping together, trusting God together. Understanding, unity. And then I believe the upholding one another. I'm glad tonight that we have the Bible. I'm glad we have God. I'm glad we have Jesus. I'm glad we have the Holy Spirit. I'm glad we have the blood of Christ. There's something else I'm glad. I'm glad we have one another. I'm glad we have the saints of God. And I'm going to tell you something, brother, when the devil's after you and the storms of life rage and the disappointments and the heartaches come, you know who's going to circle your wagons? Your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. I'm glad for the help we have one for another. Boy, I love what Paul said to that church at Corinth. He said, you helped me. You refreshed me. He said, you brought me along upon my journey. Amen. And man, where would we be tonight if God hadn't sent somebody by to lift us up and carry us on? Man, I know I can pray to God myself. I know I can touch heaven myself. I believe in the individual priesthood of the believer. But I'm telling you tonight, I thank God for the prayers of those we love. I'm glad sometimes we bear faith and victory on the wings of other people's prayers. I'm glad tonight. Well, the family of God and what we have. You remember Paul is getting ready to die. And he says to his physician, Luke, I want you to write young Timothy. I want you to tell him some things. I want you to tell him that perilous times are going to come. But son, you just keep hammering away and preach the word. I want you to give him this testimony for me. God is good and this thing is real. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. And I'm headed to a country where I'm going to get my crown. And he said, I want you to tell him this. How important it is that he leans upon his brothers and sisters in Christ. He said, there's an old boy by the name of Onesiphorus. And Paul said, I call him Brother O. He said, he wasn't ashamed of my chain. Paul said, he often refreshed my spirit. Man, that got a hold of me. He refreshed, boy, how many people in your life? It's been a refreshment. I mean this. And I may have approached it wrong. But I have literally prayed hours. Months, years, days, almost all my ministry. And I don't know if this has just been my burden. I want my preaching. I want my life. I want my ministry. I want my presence to be like a breath of fresh air to somebody. Yeah. Man, I preach against sin, and when I get started, it's ugly. I chop wood, and the pieces fly everywhere. But I want to tell you, I want my life and my ministry and my preaching and my present to be like a blast of fresh air. I want to refresh your spirit and refresh your life. Man, I want you to go out of here on Sunday night feeling blessed. God, I charge hell with a water gun. Because I've heard the word of God and I've been in God's presence and I've been refreshed. And that little word refreshed, it got a hold of me. So I did a little study. And that little word refresh was a nautical term used by the sailors on a ship. Before they would ever leave the dock and set sail, they had to make sure they had enough water and food and supplies to sustain them to make the trip. But if they knew the voyage would be too long, they would predetermine a place to stop. And they would dock. And while they was in that harbor, they would replenish the supplies. They would put back on the ship everything the ship needed to finish the journey. And that's the word that Paul used for Onesiphorus. He refreshed me. And Paul said, on my journey to the glory land, I pulled into the harbor of Onesiphorus' prayers and love and mercy and grace. And he put in my life everything I needed to make the rest of the journey. Lord, have mercy, somebody. And aren't you glad for places we can pull in and God replenish and refresh our lives? Let that brotherly love continue. No matter what's in you, no matter what happens to you, what happens between you, let the love of Christ dwell in our hearts richly. Because our speech, our service, and our sacrifice profits nothing unless it's motivated and blessed with love. Our love for Him and our love for each other. I believe that's why Paul could say in the midst of his persecution, the love of Christ constraineth us. Our love for Him and our love for others will keep you going when the going gets rough. May the Holy Spirit tonight baptize us in that perfect love. Let's stand together. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight.